The Ways of Childhood by B.J. Darlee Starscream. Narrated by Tall Tales and Bedtime Stories. Rating is mature. Creator chose not to use archive warnings. Category is other. Fandom is supernatural. Relationships: Dean Winchester and Sam Winchester. Bobby Singer and Dean Winchester and Sam Winchester. Bobby Singer and Dean Winchester. Bobby Singer and Sam Winchester. Characters: Dean Winchester, Sam Winchester, Bobby Singer, Alistair, Bella Talbot, Ruby, Supernatural. Additional tags: cursed object, torture, flashbacks, PTSD, nightmares, mind manipulation, Dean's time in hell, sexual assault, rape slash non-con elements, angst, self-created monsters, Impala Dreamers Through His Eyes Challenge, Season 4 Interlude. Summary: some things you really shouldn't pick up from a thrift store. You don't know where they've been. Takes place between Season 4 Episode 8, Wishful Thinking, and Season 4 Episode 9, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Notes: this is very late, for which I apologize. It's a response to the Impala Dreamer Through His Eyes Challenge. I picked Cursed Object, and this idea won over the Best Friends Forever handcuffs and the microphone that never lets you stop singing. To be absolutely accurate, there's a brief scene from Sam's POV, which probably DQs it from the challenge anyway. I'm sorry, the additional context was too good to pass up. Thanks to @SamIsMySafeWord and @ThoughtsLikeAMinefield for helpful feedback and this does not suck handholding. All recognizable intellectual properties are owned by their respective creators and holders of any copyrights or trademarks. This is a not-for-profit work of fan art and protected by fair use. Hey, buddy. Dean reached out and plucked a raggedy little teddy bear off the shelf. Like a lot of things on the shelf, it was old and dirty. The reddish-brown fabric was rough and woolen, stained with generations of grime. The eyes, green eyes, that was kind of cool, had lost their shine and stared at him through etched and pitted glass. It looked handmade, a gift made by somebody's grandma and thrown away when the receiver got too old for teddy bears. Dude. Sam took the bear away and put it back on the shelf, in between the dusty cartoon books and off-color plastic crap marked with some other child's teeth marks. Few things more depressing than the kids section of a charity thrift store. Gross. Aw, have a heart, Sammy. Dean teased, picking the bear back up and making him dance. Fit as a fiddle and ready for love. All right, enough. Sam yanked the poor little guy out of Dean's hand this time and planted him in a clean spot on the dusty shelf. Let's just get some fresh shirts and get the hell out of here. I've got a headache and the county deeds office closes at 5. So much for turning Sammy's frown upside down. Getting him to lighten up lately was like trying to bench press a Buick. Sam made for the shirt racks, a pair of jeans draped over his arm. Without thinking about it much, Dean slipped the bear into his coat pocket. The day turned into one of those days. Long and bruising. I hate poltergeist cases. Dean bitched as they pulled up outside home for the night. Yeah, ditto. Sam sighed. Dibs on the shower. Yeah, whatever. Dean sighed. I'll go get some food. Don't drain the hot water, please and thank you. He said as Sam climbed out and shut the door. He was back half an hour later with some tacos, a case of beer, and a fresh bottle of whatever was on sale at the liquor store. After inhaling his share of the tacos and taking a shower, Dean walked out of the dingy bathroom and Sam was there snoring on his bed. Well, good. Sam was always running short on sleep. Speaking of, Dean dug into his coat pocket for the booze. His hand found smooth glass and a rough fabric. Hey there, he said as he pulled out the teddy bear. keeping this safe for me? The booze burned going down. Cheap shit. Not that Dean cared. He wasn't drinking for the flavor. A little oblivion. Was that too much to ask? Dude, wake up.
Leave me alone.
Dean mumbled. Dude, it's like almost 8. We gotta get a move on. That couldn't be right. Dean groped and found his phone and... son of a bitch. Sam was right.
I'm up.
He grunted, reaching for his rucksack.
Coffee?
Yeah. Sam passed a cup and Dean slammed it as soon as he was upright. Weird thing was, he didn't feel hungover. He felt rested, more than he had in a while.
Got a job lined up?
Maybe, Sam said. Bobby checked in earlier. Said he had a line on demon signs north of Omaha.
What kind of signs?
Dean asked as he got dressed, slipping into shop talk. The coffee finished waking him up and he stood into a stretch. So you got your stuff? Sam didn't wait for Dean to say yes or no. He just walked out with his ruck and the weapons bag. Dean shook his head and finished packing up. He saw the teddy bear on the bed sheets and, without thinking about it, grabbed the little guy and shoved him into his ruck. Big zilch on demon signs. Just some assholes who got their rocks off torturing animals. After putting the fear of God into them, Dean pulled into the motel parking lot. Okay, Sam said. You go have fun, or whatever.
What?
Oh, right, the bar next door. The one with the live music, full parking lot, and 10-cent volcano wings sign over the door.
Nah, I think I'm gonna turn in early.
Dean said, surprising himself. Sam blinked. You're turning?
Yes, Sam. Occasionally I do need my full 8.
Okay, Sam said, patting his pocket. Not ready to call it a night yet. Think I'll head over and have a few. Dean's turn to blink.
Okay.
Sam paused as he opened the door and stuck his leg out.
What? I can't go out drinking? It's not that you can't, it's that you generally don't.
Dean said.
The role reversal's giving me head spin.
Sam pulled himself out of the car and, eat me, Dean, floating back on the evening air.
Fine. I didn't want to hang out with you neither.
Dean said to the empty car. It's warm outside, sunshine coming and going as big fluffy clouds fly by. They're in a field, under a tree with a neat little hollow in between exposed roots, just the right size for a little boy and his buddy. Dean leans on his back, on the old blue blanket Daddy kept in the trunk. Mommy and Daddy aren't here. Nobody is, except his buddy.
That one looks like a bear,
his buddy says. You think they all look like bears? Dean says, reasonably enough.
Of course. They all look like me, except the ones that look like you.
Dean laughs. You're weird.
I'm the most normalist bear you'll ever meet.
His buddy smiles, his black thread smile.
You and me and you. The whole world is here, just we two.
Dean repeats, and his buddy's smile gets big. But it turns red, and Dean's heart turns cold. Something's not right. Mommy? He calls. Mommy? Mommy?
Ugh. Why do I have the purple people eater song stuck in my head?
Dean asked Sam over a late lunch.
Because you're weird?
Sam answered without looking up from his laptop. Sam should have known better.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and a one big eye.
A memory pierced him of Dad holding him in the crook of one arm and Sammy in the other, winking at them and play-gnawing at Sammy's tiny fingers.
Dad used to sing it to us when we were super little.
Dean heard himself say,
"Remember?"
Still without looking up,
"No." "Or when he taught us to sing backup to cover of the Rolling Stone."
Dean peered out of the diner window. Outside the parking lot was a mud hole, messy with snowmelt. He remembered Dad getting pissy with Sammy once when he stomped into a mud puddle and made a mess. Pissy with both of them, naturally. Minding Sammy was Dean's job, and when Sammy fucked up, Dean got it too.
"I'm trying to read this."
Sam waved him off.
"Excuse me."
Dean huffed. Dean's tucked into the hollow underneath the tree, like a desperado on the run from the sheriff and his posse, his daddy and his Uncle Mitch and his Uncle Wes.
"You don't need angels to watch over you,"
his buddy says. Teddy bears aren't real, of course they're not, but Dean can pretend, so he does. His buddy crawls underneath his t-shirt and presses against his heart. It's okay. He's safe. His buddy is here.
"You and me and you, the whole world is here, just we two."
Dean sat on the toilet lid and examined the teddy bear.
"I am 30 fucking years old."
70. A wheezing voice corrected.
"I should not need to sleep with a fucking teddy bear."
The bear's clear green eyes shone at him. No judgment, no condemnation, nothing to berate him for being weak and breakable. The teddy bear wasn't calling him a failure or a coward, wasn't accusing him of being weak and stupid. Dean shook himself. Of course it wasn't. It was a piece of fabric and stuffing. Just like his real teddy bear, thrown away because it smelled like fire. Or Sammy's Mr. Moose, left behind in a frantic post-hunt dash. Or the blue blanket, burned in a trash barrel behind Pastor Jim's place because the blood just wouldn't wash out. The life chipped away anything soft or comforting. Dean knew that. Had known it since he was 6, and Dad took him shooting in lieu of getting him a birthday cake and presents. A rap on the door, and Sam calling his name. "You okay, dude?"
"Yeah."
Dean answered on reflex, stuffing the teddy bear into his ruck like a kid sneaking looks at his dad's penthouse magazines.
"Yeah, I'm good." "Tell me a story."
So Dean tells stories, but they're weird stories, and they're not really stories. About how Mommy went away and Daddy went wrong, and Sammy. His buddy doesn't like stories about Sammy. His buddy doesn't like hearing about Sammy. His buddy doesn't like Sammy.
"You mind taking a turn?"
Dean asked as Sam emerged from the bathroom, wiping his hands on his jeans.
"Sure, I'm good,"
Sam said, plucking the car keys from Dean's fingers.
"You okay? You look kinda blarg."
Dean shrugged.
"Didn't sleep well last night."
Sam's eyebrows went up.
"You were out for almost 9 hours. "Whatever, I just want to shut my eyes a while. You can drive us across scenic West Texas."
Sam looked like he was about to say something else, but Dean turned and got into the back seat before he could. He stretched out across the seats, folding up his jacket and setting it under his head for a pillow. Hunger tears at him from the inside, and thirst bakes his chest like radiation. Dean's been through this enough times to know it'll get worse. The thing hovering over him like a giant spider, it caresses him. The touch is warm, soothing. In its way, it's also torture. "So, my dear," it whispers in the deep crevices of his mind. "Shall we begin?" Dean's cracked throat screams, and he can feel it smile. The rack's wheels click over. The cords around his wrists slither tighter, like living things. With each click, he can feel his skeleton stretch, stress fractures cracking the bones apart, muscles ripping, joints unhinging. A fleshy thing probes between his lips and fluid pours down his throat. Hot and salty and stinking and making the radioactive feeling so much worse. The cords are slithering other places, too.
Daddy never touched you, but you were not untouched, were you, my dear?
No,
Dean shrieks. Much good it does.
Oh, my heart.
It coos as it caresses where he's soft and he feels good.
My dear one, my darling, are we not beyond know?
Blades cut, meat sizzles. Deliciously singed morsels wave under his nose, and Dean opens his mouth on reflex, chews, swallows. Blood runs down his cheeks to mix with tears he can somehow still shed.
All of you is mine, and I will have it all.
Dean blinked awake as he rolled upright. His throat ached with a choked back scream.
Hey,
Sam said, glancing into the back seat. From the angle of the sunlight, he hadn't been out long. Maybe an hour.
You okay, man?
Groaning, Dean rubbed his eyes.
Fine as frog's hair.
He lied. Sam snorted, turning his attention back to the road.
Dean, I'm right here,
he said.
Captive, willing, non-judgmental audience.
Dean's turn to snort.
Yeah, right.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
Dean mumbled, realizing his mistake. Mistakes, plural. Admitting he remembered hell had been a mistake. Mentioning anything about hell had been a mistake. With the scent of I'm right in his nose, Sam had doubled down on probing Dean. Bad choice of words. Phantom aches twisted under his skin.
Nothing,
Dean repeated, lying back down. Careful to keep his hands below Sam's eye line in the rearview mirror, he pulled the little teddy bear out of his jacket. Teddy bear equals no nightmares. Fine.
What's wrong?
Daddy's mad at me.
Dean confesses to his buddy. He had to spank me because I'm bad. His buddy's shiny eyes hold nothing but sympathy.
You're not bad. It's okay. You're not bad.
Dean doesn't want to cry. Only babies cried, and he wasn't a baby. He's old enough to make a fist, Daddy said, and too big for bawling.
Your daddy's not here.
His buddy reminds him.
There's nobody here. Just me. And I don't hate you for crying. I'll never hate you. Come on. Say the words.
Sniffling, Dean says.
You and me. Me and you. The whole wide world is here. Just we two.
There. There. It's okay. Shh. You're safe here.
Dean swore as he unwrapped the dressing from around his hand. The cut was deep and ugly. She'd just put a shunt in his arm for when they needed blood for spells or rituals or what the fuck ever.
One of these days you're gonna chop my hand in half doing that.
He bitched to Sam.
Uh-huh. You want a slice of cheese to go with that wine?
Fuck off.
God, he had a headache. Dean wasn't sure why. Thanks to his new best friend, he'd been sleeping like a rock. Oversleeping, really. His normal routine usually evened out to between 3 and 5 hours a night. Lately, it had ticked up to 7 or 8. Enough for Sam to start bitching and moaning about always being the guy who had to get the food and clean the guns and lay the salt lines and do all the other logistical shit Dean tended to do out of sheer force of habit. So, are we gonna talk about this?
Shit. Zoned.
Huh?
Grinning that asshole grin that made Dean yearn to knock his teeth out, Sam dug into Dean's ruck. ignoring Dean's,
"Hey."
He pulled out Dean's buddy.
"A teddy bear? Dean, really?" "Put him back."
"Him?
Oh, that's adorable."
And there it was, with Sam not taking him seriously. Sam thinking he was so fucking smart, so fucking tough. Sam who got at least 3 years of pretending he wasn't a curse on two legs. Sam who had the audacity to treat him like a fucking suspect. Dean felt his knuckles crack as he curled his hands into fists.
"Put it back, Sam. Right now."
"Oh, suddenly you're the respecter of personal space? Mister, I use my brother's laptop to serve busty Asian beauties? Give me a break." Sam looked at the teddy bear and made a face. "Jesus, Dean, this thing looks like a dog's chew toy." "That's enough. Just about e-fucking enough." Sam cried, "Ow!" as Dean seized his wrist and twisted. The surprise was enough. Dean was able to wrench the bear out of Sam's hand.
"I said," Dean growled, "put it back." "That's a simple fucking instruction, or maybe you don't understand English."
Clutching his hand, Sam just stared, all big-eyed and shocked. "Dean, what the hell's gotten into you?"
"You're so fucking smart, you ought to know."
Dean felt something off and looked at the bear.
"Oh shit, now look what you did. You popped a seam. Where's the sewing kit?"
"I'm serious. What is the matter with you?" Dean felt his temper strain.
"Your main hobby is cataloging how fucked up I am. Ever think that maybe, just maybe, you're not as smart as you think you are? Like maybe when somebody tells you to back the fuck off, you should back the fuck off?"
"Fuck this." Dean grabbed his jacket and stormed out the door. The lady behind the counter at the craft store blinked at Dean's scowl, decided discretion was the better part of valor, and rang him up without asking the guest questions Dean could see taped to the wall behind the register. "What are you working on? Is it a gift for anyone? Do you come to us for anything else?"
"Just, no. Not today, Suzanne."
Dean got in the car and tore into the package of needles, threading the tiny eye with the ease of long practice. At least his buddy wasn't going to flinch and cry every time he got jabbed.
"Suck it up, Winchester."
Dean echoed Dad as he stitched.
"Poke, 2, 3. Poke, 2, 3.
As he pulled the stitches tight, Dean noticed blood.
"Oh, shit."
He looked at the fresh red seeping from the cut on his hand.
"Sorry, buddy. We'll pick up some seltzer from the liquor store. That'll come right out."
"I'm not scared of the monsters," Dean declares, waving his stick like a sword. "I'm not scared of anything."
"I know."
His buddy stands by his side with a real shining sword.
"But it's okay. No monsters here. There will never be monsters here. You're safe here. You can just be here with me."
Dean shakes his head. "That's not right. The world is too empty. No sounds on the air. No music from the garage. No voices from the other houses on the street. Like everyone up and went away." Dean's little body shrinks in terror. "Mommy? Daddy? Sammy? Where are you?"
"You don't need them. Just me. And you. Nothing else in the world."
"No." Dean drops his stick sword and runs. He has to find Sammy before the monsters get him. Dean woke up with another headache, his buddy held close in the crook of his arm. His arms and legs felt heavy. Not numb exactly, just heavy. He took effort to sit up and swing his legs over the side of the bed. Sam was just finishing getting dressed, buttoning a clean shirt closed over his chest. The incident with the bear had happened a couple of days ago, and since then, they'd been no more than polite to each other. Normally, Dean hated the silent treatment. Maybe he was getting wiser in his old age. Sam being all icy didn't bother him the way it usually did. like someone hit his nerves with a shot of lidocaine. Hey. Sam smacked Dean's arm with the back of his hand. Get it in gear. We're running low on supplies. Plus, we need to do a few loads of laundry. Your socks smell like toxic waste.
I'll rinse them in the sink,
Dean said, already lying back down and pulling the covers over himself. God, it was too early for this. Sam yanked the covers off the bed, ignoring Dean's squeak of protest. Nope. He who makes it dirty gets it clean. Don't quote Dad at me, Dean snapped. Sam paused, hands going to his hips. Like John, but bigger. Get your ass out of bed right now. We got shit to do and checkout is in 20 minutes.
Shit.
Dean shoved himself upright, blinking as his head swam. God, why did it take so much work to stand? He felt like someone had replaced all his muscles with uranium or something, too heavy inside his own skin.
Tell me you made coffee.
Machine's busted. Sam peered at Dean closely as Dean bent to pick up his ruck. Hey, hold up a sec. Dean ignored him, heading for the bathroom. Sam snorted as Dean shut the door in his face and made a production out of clicking the lock extra loud.
Look, Dean. I'm sorry about the other day. I didn't mean to hurt your snuggle bear. Fuck. Off. Sammy.
Once he was moving, it was easier. Dean took care of the morning necessaries and dragged on the least stinky of his clothes. Sam had a point. Everything reeked of road funk. Except his buddy. His buddy was clean and pristine. Eyes shiny like new and green like his. Dean examined him more closely. The sewn-on mouth, had it changed shape? His repairs didn't look like a rush job by a guy who learned how to sew on a cut-up pork shoulder. They were small and neat, original-looking. Unease filled Dean's veins with cold water. He was imagining things. He had to be, but
Dean. I'm coming.
Dean reached for the bear, paused. Clenched his fist, zipped his bag and turned his back, marching out the door and leaving the bear on the bathroom counter.
Abandoning your buddy?
Dean clenched his jaw. It's a stuffed fucking animal, he kept repeating. It's just a rag with a face.
You remember when Sammy found out Dad didn't care about Mr. Moose? How he cried?
Talk about a memory Dean could have done without.
When Dad had left them alone in that motel room, he'd been so sure Dad was going back to get Mr. Moose, he'd calmed Sammy down by telling him so.
Then Dad had come back, empty-handed and stinking. Dean didn't remember what happened next.
You remember how mad Sam was at you.
Dean did remember that.
You really thought Dad would detour hours out of his way for a stupid toy. Just like you thought he'd sober himself up enough to be back in time for Christmas. Just like you thought he'd care enough to show up for Sammy's theatrical debut. He only showed up for parent-teacher conferences because teachers noticed when he missed those.
Dean couldn't remember each and every time he'd tried and failed to paper over the cracks left by John's absence, but he could feel them. More important things to worry about.
Bobby wants us back at the house.
Yeah, Sam said, forking up another mouthful of greens and shoving them into his chewing mouth. The crunch set Dean's teeth on edge.
He says he got a shipment of lore books he wants our help unpacking.
Another mouthful, more crunching, more ground up greens practically falling from Sam's drooling mouth.
For Christ's sake, chew with your mouth closed.
Sam's eyes popped wide.
Sorry,
he mumbled, chewing and swallowing. Dean sighed and rubbed the bridge of his nose. If only he could focus.
Sorry, I just have a monster headache, and the thought of playing librarian is not helping.
Well, yeah. Sam held up his hand, a sliver of space between his fingertips.
The print's, like, really tiny, and there's no pictures.
Dean's hand flicked out and slapped Sam on the side of his head. Sam's head rocked, and the mean little grin wiped off his face.
Shut the entire fuck up, Sammy.
Without waiting for a reply, Dean shoved himself out of the diner's booth and stomped out to the car. Sam took care of the check and joined him.
Dude, what the fuck? Nothing. Let's just get a fucking move on.
His head throbbed, calipers screwed to each eyeball and screwing tight, like someone trying to pop them from the sockets. He knew what that felt like, when eyeballs burst apart and leaked goo down his cheeks. Sam's hand grabbed the keys out of the ignition.
No, no, we are going to fucking discuss what shoved that bug up your ass.
I get that you're struggling with something.
You don't know the first fucking thing about it, Sammy.
Dean said, in a voice he barely recognized as his.
You're right. I don't.
Sam held the keys up out of Dean's reach as Dean pawed to get them back.
So tell me.
I can help.
I'm your brother. I just wanna... What in the hell happened to you?
Bobby asked as Dean brushed by him heading for the stairs.
Ask him,
said Sam, a fat, purpling shiner partly closing his left eye. Dean didn't bother hanging around for the interrogation. Instead, he went upstairs to the room he and Sam had shared when they were kids. If Sam didn't want the pleasure of his company, he could sleep on the couch in Bobby's study. All he wanted right now was to kill the fifth of whiskey he had rat-holed in his ruck and fall into bed to try and sleep.
Sleep,
mocked the little voice in his head.
Yeah, I dare you.
Time is fluid, and I channel it here.
The spider-like form with its needle-tipped legs is gone. The form that had broken him is human now. A man a little taller than him, touching his bare skin with gentle hands.
I saved her, just for you. One of the authors of your misery.
Dean, please.
The woman who'd named herself Bella Talbot snivels.
Please don't do this.
Why not?
Dean asks, in his own whole and unbroken voice. She has the kind of body he likes, slender and rounded. When they were both alive, she'd had the kind of attitude he'd liked. Courage attracted him. But like everything else about little Abigail, it's a lie. Little Abigail is yellow from head to toe. No defiance in her at all. Dean holds out his hand and his master, parent, friend, everything, hands him a tool.
If we hadn't faked you out, you'd have shot my brother dead in that hotel room. Here, my heart.
The hand indicates.
Take your time, but not too much. Remember whose blood that weeping bitch is lying in.
As though he'd forget. The things he'd failed, in the end, to endure had no real names. What is it when a thing like a tongue's caressing you from the inside as your joints pop out of the sockets? When the meat you're eating once lay over your own bones? When you can almost see your family, the people for whose sake you're enduring damnation surrounding you and laughing in pleasure? When you can feel them leave once they've had enough fun? Dean can feel Bella shrieking as he cuts into her pretty body. His mind cleaves in two, part crying out with her and part laughing because he feels fine and good and whole.
Don't.
The voice in his ear as Dean puts his thumb to the outer arc of Bella's eye socket.
We will want a witness.
Hands, warm human hands, press to his chest and pull him in an embrace. An affectionate, caring embrace. Here, covered in blood he's drawing, in pain he's creating. Here he is loved for exactly what he is. He's failed. He has not failed. His mind is broken in half, and half of it will never leave this place. Ever.
Kiss me, my own heart. My dear one. My treasure.
They kiss, and Dean celebrates by gouging Bella's eyes out. Dean thrashed awake, tangled in clothes soaked in cold sweat. He gasped for air, searching for the perfume of blood and shit and smoky fires. Instead, all he got was dirty laundry and musty air, laced with the faint ghosts of Old Spice and whiskey. The only light came from the window, letting in a bar of moonlight. Sitting up, Dean put his fist in his mouth and sobbed. The whiskey bottle sat on the floor by his rock, and he picked it up and drank off what was left in two gulps. The thought came to break the glass on the bed frame and use the sharp ends on himself. Stupid. All that would earn him was a trip back into the pit. You're sure that's not what you want? Shut up. Dean muttered and looked around. If Sam heard, he hadn't. Sam must be downstairs with Bobby, working hard and getting shit done. They didn't need him for whatever library project Bobby had going. Or for anything, really. Dean was extraneous to whatever routine Sam had developed. All cozy with demon bitch and the plan to kill Lilith and shit. Yellow Eyes had been right about that. About how he needed Dad and Sammy a lot more than they'd ever needed him. But Yellow Eyes hadn't had to say so. Dean had known that since he'd been old enough to know how wrong the world really was. The right world ended with the fire. Daddy wanted Sammy. Dean was just the fuck-up he had to drag along like an unwanted toy. Dean didn't really let himself think about what he was doing as he dragged his ruck close and zipped it open. He dug under his rolled-up jeans and shirts until he found it. Gleaming green eyes and a smile made of stitches greeted him. Dean and his buddy. Just a couple of unwanted toys. I'm sorry. Dean told his buddy, stroking back its round little ears like he was petting back a lady's hair gone askew. I'm so sorry, buddy. I'll never leave you behind again. He saw a red smear on the brown fabric and looked at the blood seeping from the tooth prints on his knuckles. Oh, shit. Sorry. I'll wash that out first thing in the morning. Stripping out of his sweat-stiff clothes, Dean pulled on some fresh boxers and sweatpants. He didn't bother with a shirt. Instead, he pulled his buddy close and tucked them both under the covers. His buddy felt good, held close like that, warmed with the heat of his body, a spot of comfort right over his heart. Dean shut his eyes with confidence. With his buddy held close, the nightmares would stay away. His buddy made him safe. His buddy had his back. Dean runs, looking everywhere he can think of for his buddy. He doesn't need mommy. He doesn't need daddy. He doesn't need the weird, noisy, Sammy monster everyone tells him he's supposed to love. Just his buddy. The world is big and scary and full of hurt. He wants the magic. He wants his buddy. He wants their world. He wants a world where words like coward and traitor and failure and unwanted don't mean anything. Dean? Dean. Dean lifted his head from the pillow. Fucking what? Don't you talk to me like that, boy. Bobby snapped. You've been out for hours. I was just coming to tell you there's food in the kitchen. That's where the food goes, Bobby. I'm fine. Get lost. The doorknob rattled. Then the door rattled. What the Sam hellacious, Bobby muttered. Raising his voice, he ordered. Dean opened the door. More rattling, then pounding, then thumping. Dean just wished for some fucking quiet. How was a guy supposed to get any fucking sleep with all the noise? Sleep. So underrated. So Dean rolled himself back into the covers and shut his eyes. He could hear indistinct voices outside the door, his ears listening hard out of habit. Something's going on with him. He's been sleeping weird. Weird how? Specifics, please. Not drinking as much, but it's weird. He's down for like 10 hours, but it's like the sleep isn't doing him any good.
A teddy bear? Seriously?
Bobby, that door doesn't have a lock on it.
And none of the furniture is heavy enough to barricade it.
Irrelevant. Static. Dean looked at his buddy's sweet little face.
You and me, and me and you. He whispered. The whole world is here, just we two.
Dean?
Dean whirls around with his pirate sword up and ready. He and his buddy are pirate kings on a pirate island. All intruders must die.
Stand and deliver, ye scurry knave, he shouts. I'm Captain Dean, and ye be passin'.
Trespassing, and I'm not. The enemy is a little boy with shaggy brown hair, dressed in a pair of ripped jeans and a shirt with a little cartoon moose on the front.
We always play together. We have ever since I was a baby. Don't you remember?
Huh?
Don't listen to him,
his buddy says.
We're the only ones here. Just us.
Uh-huh, the other little boy says. Dean, listen to me. Captain Dean,
and I don't listen to stupid moose boys. The other boy looks down at himself.
Should have seen that coming, he mutters. Listen, that's not your teddy bear. After the fire, you told me you had to throw your teddy bear away because it smelled too much like smoke. When you felt sad, you'd climb into the crib with me. When Dad gave you shit about it, you told him you were standing guard.
You're a lying bastard, Dean says, one of the words he's not allowed to say. Because too much swearing makes the wrong people pay attention.
Get out,
his buddy orders the other boy.
You're not welcome here.
Yeah, Dean echoes. This is our place. Get out.
The other boy, he looks hurt by that. Fine. Good. It felt good to kick someone out instead of being the one kicked out.
That's right,
his buddy says, turning Dean around and back to their hideout.
You and me and you. The whole world is...
Shut up!
The other boy sprints and tackles Dean, almost skewering them both on Dean's cutlass. Dean's so taken aback, he lets the smaller boy roll him onto his back and straddle his waist. Two small, chubby hands clasp either side of his face. The touch jolts Dean with a memory. Those same hands, in those same places. The other boy leans down and touches his forehead to Dean's. Another jolt. That same forehead touching his, and those same eyes filling his vision.
I didn't watch you get dragged down to hell to watch you fall for some cheap shit curse on a dirty fucking teddy bear.
Get off of me, Dean cries. Help!
Get away from him.
His buddy is here and Dean feels so glad. His buddy has his back. His buddy is his friend who'll never leave him or hit him or say things that make him feel so bad he wants to disappear. Dean looks up to say so, but his buddy looks different. The soft body and kind eyes are different. Instead, there's glassy sharp claws and fangs, red thread stitched to look like blood.
He is mine. He said the words and gave of his heart and his blood. He is mine.
The other boy sneers.
Not on my watch, he's not.
His buddy's paw comes down on Dean's shoulder, pinning him in place. Dean cries out as claws cut into him.
It hurts. There's blood and it hurts.
He is mine.
His buddy snarls, but it doesn't sound like his buddy at all. It sounds like something else.
All of him is mine. And I will have it all.
Snap. Dean feels his eyes pop wide and his childish self blows away. Childhood ended the night his mother burned. And fuck this asshole for making him believe otherwise.
Get away from me,
he yells, deep and adult and pissed. His buddy's not a buddy anymore. It's huge and all claws and fangs. It stinks of blood and shit and smoky fire. The claws dig in further in the pain. Dean can feel it again, and he can remember now. Fighting the creature made of light because he belonged where he was. The thing was good, and he was all bad.
You and me.
His buddy roars, and Dean yells as his eardrums strain.
And me and you.
His buddy reaches down and presses its other paw over Dean's chest. Giant black claws dig in and hook under his ribcage. They flex and grip like it was bracing to tear Dean's whole front side free and get at his beating heart.
The whole world is here. Just we.
The claws disappear and his buddy reels back, the blade of Dean's cutlass buried in its belly. Get away from my big brother, Sammy screams, small and brave. He yanks the blade free. You can't have him.
Sammy,
Dean cries, dragging his bleeding body up.
On your feet, boy, Dad would have said. Sammy, get back.
His buddy, the monster, is bigger than he is, and unlike Audrey's Teddy, it doesn't look like a guy in a costume. The reddish-brown fabric is now a pelted mess of blood and filth, and the shining green eyes are filmy red. Huge packs of muscle flex under its pelt. The pirate hideout is nothing. It's all a blank expanse of dying grass and a lifeless gray sky. The tree a rotting stump. Without the cloak of Dean's imagination, the world of just we two is barren. It's nowhere. Dean sticks his open hand behind his hip and Sammy slaps the handle of the cutlass into his palm. Dean brings it up just in time to deflect a swipe from a massive paw. The monster yells as the blade slices.
You faithless waste.
The monster growls.
This is where you belong. With me. Give me your heart and swear your eternal loyalty to me. Like hell.
Dean slashes and the tip of the blade catches the monster across the muzzle. Thick blood falls in big drops.
Get away. Get back.
Never. It says, and the gash in its muzzle is closing as Dean watches.
You are mine. Blood and bone.
It extends a paw and makes like it's pulling on something. Dean screams as he feels his heart shift out of place and press against his breastbone.
My heart. My treasure. Mine.
He failed once. Never again. Dean swallows back the pain, lets his knees bend without buckling, and launches himself at the monster. An arm thick through as his thigh drops to the ground. Blood covers him, viscous and stinking. The dead arm vanishes, melting into whatever magic makes this place. The monster grimaces as thick bones pop out of its ugly armhole. More pulling at his heart, and Dean shrieks. Snake-like ropes of muscle and tendon slither into place on the bones, and new pelt covers the raw tissue.
Hope to get more out of you, buddy.
The monster says as Dean fights to stay on his feet, stay conscious, stay fighting.
You think you deserve rest?
It lifts a paw and Dean feels blood vessels burst in his lungs. Blood drools from his lips. Dean falls to his knees.
Relax.
The monster says. Its voice is soothing now. The same voice it's been using to lull him to sleep as it feeds on his heart.
It will be over soon and we can be together.
Fuck. You. Dean slurs. Blood slick on his chin and filling his throat. The monster smiles, jaws opening and claws flexing.
I told you.
Sammy. Not Sammy. Sam. Big and grown and fucking pissed.
You can't have him.
Fire in the hole.
Just like Dad taught him, Dean drops to the ground, claps his hands over his ears and opens his mouth. A ring of glowing orange circles the monster. Two circles with writing and symbols laced between them in fire. Sam drops his body over Dean's and Dean curls into a tight kowtow, screaming right along with the monster as he burns from the heart on outward. An explosion tears the whole world apart, Dean sat up in the sweat-soaked bed, gasping. Bobby and Sam peered at him anxiously. Dean looked and saw one of the brass bowls Bobby used for ritual work smoldering on the floor. He could see a scrap of reddish-brown fabric and a tuft of brown stuffing.
Dean? Dean?
Dean's eyes snapped to Bobby, and holy guacamole, his head hurt. Hell, everything hurt, but his head won the shit hurts gold medal. Worse than any hangover he could remember. Almost as bad as that one time he double-fisted amphetamines and caffeine pills when what's-his-fuck tried to kill him in his dreams. Dean blinked at the glass Bobby held in front of his lips.
Drink. Slow.
Bobby and Sam waited patiently as Dean slowly drank. Ginger ale. Bobby swore by it when whiskey wouldn't do.
That staying down?
Bobby asked.
Yeah.
Dean said, and God, his throat was still so dry talking hurt. He tried to shift position, and the shit hurts gold was awarded instead to his chest. Each heartbeat throbbed painfully inside his ribs.
Okay, easy, kid,
Bobby said, in that same patient tone he'd had when Dad had dropped them off with nasty cases of the flu. Just like then, too, Bobby picked up a mug full of chicken broth and watched Dean drink.
It's okay, Dean. Just tell me if you start feeling like you gotta puke, or if you get the runs. You've been out more than 2 days.
Dean blinked.
What? Yeah.
Ignoring Dean's groaning protests, Sam and Bobby got a shoulder under each of Dean's arms.
Come on, shower time. You stink.
Showering hurt, too. Dean was so dizzy with the pain in his chest he couldn't stand. Sam had to get into the shower with him and hold him upright while Bobby scrubbed him with a scrub brush.
Shut up.
Bobby grunted when Dean opened his mouth to complain.
This ain't nearly as bad as that time you idiots broke into my liquor cabinet and tried to play bartender. Captain Morgan is a racist.
Dean quoted, remembering. Sort of. A long night of swapping places with Sammy between a tepid shower and a constantly flushing toilet.
He hates Mexicans.
He did feel better when it was over and he was dressed in fresh sweats and a hoodie, sitting on the downstairs couch with a mug of warm broth in his hands.
How are you feeling? Any better?
Sam asked as Dean finished a pile of crackers.
Yeah, a little.
Dean said, sipping more broth. His hands shook, so hard Bobby had to clasp his rough hands around Dean's to keep him from dropping the mug. Dean winced when he saw Sam's swollen eyelid. Damn good hit for it to still be purple like that.
What happened? When we were able to bust the door down.
Bobby started as he handed Dean a weak scotch and water.
You were barely breathing. I couldn't even find your pulse. Then we saw that damn teddy bear.
It was cursed, Sam said. We tried to get it away from you, but we couldn't without breaking your fingers. Dean nodded and groaned.
God, his head hurt.
So how did you break the curse? Well, we took a page from Bella's book,
Bobby said. Dean couldn't hide his wince.
We used you as the focal point in a seance and managed to summon the ghost of one of its victims. Turns out it was cursed to drain people of their life force. Anima, essence, whatever.
Kids, Dean said. At Sam and Bobby's question mark faces, Dean said,
not people, kids.
Yeah, Sam confirmed. The witch who put the curse together must have been a nasty bitch. The little girl we summoned told us it took her to Never Never Land. Like in Peter Pan.
Except no Peter Pan. No Lost Boys. Nobody else, ever.
Dean said.
Yeah.
Bobby offered some more crackers.
These staying down?
When Dean nodded, Bobby handed them over.
She told us the thing tricked her into repeating the curse's incantation. Over and over.
strengthen its hold on her. You and me and me. And you. Dean took over the words, shivering. The whole world is here, just we two. Yeah. So, how did you get in with me? Dean asked. African dream route? Yeah, Sam said. His eyes went sad, pitying. Dean fought the urge to give him a black eye to match the purple one. The way he felt, all he'd do was fall over anyway. I thought seeing me would snap you out of it. It did. Dean cleared his throat. Eventually. Sam paused and moved in closer. God, Dean was getting so he hated that look. It was the one Sam got when he was coaxing info out of some poor slob who'd seen something they weren't supposed to. All fake soothing and you can trust me. He didn't want them to, but Dean could feel his defenses going up. The girl we summoned, she told us grown-ups usually didn't get hit with the curse unless they were hiding from something. Sam paused, waiting for Dean to jump in just to fill in the silence. When Dean kept his mouth shut, Sam dug harder. Like they felt really lost. What can I say, Sam? It's been a rough few months. Dean lied. Dean. Sam sighed, and Dean felt his molars creaking. I can't help you if you're not straight with. You can't help. Period. Dean cut him off. What? You don't think I can handle it? Sam demanded. Jesus, Dean.
Sam, give us a minute.
Bobby said, and it wasn't a request. When Sam didn't move, Bobby added,
Now.
Glaring at them both, Sam stalked out through the kitchen. Dean counted steps, and right on cue, the back door slammed.
I'm not going to talk about it with you either, Bobby. And I'm not asking you to,
Bobby said, to Dean's surprise. Dean waited as Bobby mixed him another scotch and water and poured a neat one for himself. They clinked glasses and drank. The little touch of heat in his belly felt nice, on top of the broth and the crackers. It all made him feel almost human again.
Sam told me all this started.
Bobby reached into the chest pocket of his shirt.
Because you've been having trouble sleeping.
Pills rattled as Bobby took out an orange bottle.
Prazosin. Take half a pill when you're lying down to go to sleep. Can't guarantee they'll help, but they're worth a try.
Thanks. Dean says he took the bottle and stuffed it in his hoodie's front pouch.
Look.
Bobby said, and Dean tensed.
If you're not talking, it's for a reason. I just want you to know.
Dean rolled his eyes. Bobby ignored it.
When you decide you're ready.
He held up the scotch bottle.
I got a whole case of this crap in the basement. The panic room I can lock Sam in, and all the time in the world. Okay?
Dean nodded, a lump in his throat for some reason. He almost did it. Spilled his guts all over the floor.
You know better than that,
he reminded himself. Telling the truth was always a gamble, and Dean tended to lose those bets. The really nice lady from the school library who asked where Sam's lunch money was, for instance. Honesty had gotten them locked in a cold room with a dead-eyed social worker and a volcanically angry dad.
Meantime,
Bobby continued when Dean didn't say anything else.
Try and cut your brother some slack. Maybe drag that bug out of your ass and apologize for the shiner. He really thought you were a goner. We both did.
I'll be all right. Dean reassured him. He patted his belly.
I feel better already.
A couple days, I'll be good as new. Bobby pulled his not buying it idiot face.
Uh-huh. Think you feel up to giving me a hand with some cross-referencing?
Dean groaned. Sam tossed a rock at the garage and nodded at the deep bong noise it made against the galvanized steel siding. So how is he? Did it work?
Yeah, Sam said. You're right about the curse. It latched onto Dean because Dean's head's not on straight.
Cut him some slack, Sam. Nobody comes out of hell with their head on straight. Sam grimaced. He didn't like being reminded that Ruby spoke with a certain authority on that subject. He wasn't too happy being reminded of her experiences with nasty curses either. If she hadn't earned his trust over and over.
You did.
That's 1 in 100 trillion. And it took me a long time before I could really feel things again. Sam didn't say anything, and after an awkward pause, Ruby said, "If he's up walking and talking, he'll be okay in a few days. Embrace the break and take some R&R. You're no good to anyone if you burn yourself out on the monster of the week."
Ruby?
Yeah?
Thanks.
Sam could hear her smile. "Be careful, big guy. I'll be in touch." Slipping the phone back in his pocket, Sam climbed up on the front of the Impala and sat on the hood. It'd be nice to have Dean acting like himself again, all present and accounted for. He wished Dean wasn't so irrational on the subject of Ruby. Sam hated feeling like he was dancing on eggshells around Dean, every conversation full of landmines. Bobby's back door banged shut. It was Dean, looking pained and diminished in his comfort hoodie. For a second, he looked eerily like he had when his heart was failing, and Sam shuddered. Before, he would have said his brother was 1 in 100 trillion, too. To see him reduced to an easy mark for a half-dead curse, it made Sam feel faintly queasy. If Dean couldn't be relied upon, what was left?
Hey.
Dean swallowed.
"I'm sorry. For your eye."
Sam shrugged. "You were cursed. It's okay." The questions crowded his throat, and it took every bit of patience he had to shove them back. Instead of asking, Sam scooted over and made a space.
"Feel like watching the cars rust?"
Dean smiled, and Sam felt a little better.
"Yeah. Bobby's cross-referencing."
Sam groaned, Dean chuckled, and everything felt okay again. About a week later, they were in a bar somewhere in the Rockies, drinking beers and splitting a basket of wings. Dean smacked Sam's chest with the back of his hand.
"Look out. MIGs, 3 o'clock high."
Sam finished his beer and sipped his last 10 under the bottle.
"Copy that, Goose. I got missile lock." "I'm not Goose. I'm Maverick, your Goose,"
Dean muttered. Sam scowled over amused eyes, and Dean chuckled. Sam's sense of humor was back online. Much better. 2 days of downtime at Bobby's and a couple easy cases, the family business was back on track. Sadly, it was also having a cash flow problem. Dean smiled as he looked over their marks. A gang of biker-looking types clustered around the bar's pool table, making too much noise and having too much fun. Might as well be wearing neon signs. "Hustle us, we're morons." Dean could see Sam sizing them up too.
"Oh yeah, fish in a barrel."
Dean clapped Sam on the back.
"Go get him."
Sam mussed his hair, tipped Dean a wink, and strolled over with 1 foot turned in. Gave his walk a nice, had too many sway. Eyes lit up and elbows poked rib cages as Sam wandered in, innocent as a very tall babe in the woods.
"Oh yeah,"
Dean thought as Sam lost the first game. He and Sam would have them plucked and cleaned in an hour. 90 minutes, tops.
"Excuse me, my brother's a little too sauce to be making bets."
End notes. I have multiple headcanons where Alistair is concerned. In this one, Alistair, a genderless spider-like mass with needle-tipped legs, and it uses all means available to break subjects up to and including pleasure and acceptance and love. Just the affection laced through, "You have not disappointed me so far," is horrifying. In the right hands, anything can be poison. Feedback and constructive criticism welcome. Subscriptions to author yearned for with deep and desperate longing. Dara Lee _Starscream @yahoo.com.